You're listening to Muse Live.
Everybody, thanks for tuning into Muse Live, and today we are doing our after show for the season finale of The Mandalorian Season 2. Here we have with us our guest Starscream. He was here last week, and he's back for this week's episode. How are you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing fine, man. This episode was absolutely crazy. It was
This is gonna be my favorite episode ever. What did you think about it?
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I never would have imagined like half of the stuff that happened in this episode. It was amazing, a cinematic masterpiece to be sure.
Like throughout the episode, like the smile on my face was getting bigger and bigger as the episode progressed.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so I mean, as much as I just want to jump into this and say all my favorite parts of the episode, which is pretty much the whole thing. I am going to do a kind of a recap of the episode for you guys. So we start off and they're getting ready to go and attack Moff Gideon's light cruiser. But first they have to go and they have to ally with Bo-Katan and her Night Owls, which I mentioned might happen in our podcast last week. So they go to the cafe and they go to do that, and they start provoking Boba Fett, which is never a good idea. They call him a clone, which, I mean, he's a Boba Fett. He's, like, the most feared bounty hunter in the galaxy. You don't do that. The entire time I was kind of thinking, Cosca Reeves' character, like, she was provoking Boba, and I was like, dude, you're an idiot. This is Boba Fett you're talking to. You know? What did you think about that?
Well, like, I mean, he was literally swallowed by a sarlacc and lived, so I wouldn't be talking smack about him.
Yeah, agreed. And we're gonna see some more Boba Fett, but I'm not gonna talk about that until we finish the recap. As much as I want to just blurt it out right now, I'm not going to. So they end up fighting and then blowtorching each other, but their blowtorch blocks out the other blowtorch instead of creating more fire. I was a little bit confused about that part.
But I don't know how that works either.
Yeah,
like I don't know.
Fire plus fire makes less fire. So yeah, I was a little bit confused about that, but other than that, it was great. Bo-Katan also starts to provoke Boba, and so then they get in a fight. Eventually, they agree to ally when he tells her that he's found Moff Gideon, and she lights up because Moff Gideon's got her shiny little sword that she wants called the Darksaber. And basically, the deal with the Darksaber, for those of you who don't know, is the Darksaber is the ancient sword of Mandalore. It was originally a lightsaber wielded by the first Mandalorian, the first and so far only Mandalorian Jedi, Tar Vizsla. So that lightsaber has been passed down to each ruler of Mandalore, and now Moff Gideon has it after the Great Purge. It was previously Bo-Katan's because she previously led Mandalore, but then he stole it. So technically, he's the leader of Mandalore right now.
Yeah, Moff has kind of exiled Mandalorians from their home world, which kind of sucks for Mandalorians.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what happened to the Mandalorians that were on Concord Dawn, because there were a lot of Mandalorians on Concord Dawn and other planets, but those who are central to the home world of Mandalore, they were all driven out of there. So we don't know exactly what happened. There could have been a Great Purge on Concord Dawn, too. It could have been a Great Purge at all of the stations of where Mandalorians are around the entire galaxy. Or could have just been the center attack on that core planet. But we'll probably see what the Great Purge was or will be next season. I was expecting to see it kind of like in a flashback, the way that they showed Mando's parentage and his attack on his parents. With like brief flashbacks in the final episode that would give us the full thing, but they didn't end up doing that this season, which I'm fine with. And so they might end up doing that next season. They might not. They might just give us the full story. I don't know. But we're definitely gonna be exploring more of Mandalore next season, and I'm gonna get back to the recap because I'm getting off track again. So they end up all teaming up. They come up with a good plan. And they go ahead and they start shooting at this Imperial. I believe it's called an Imperial shuttle.
You missed like a key part in this somewhere. Where they are shooting at this like Lambda shuttle and they board it and stuff. And turns out Dr. Pershing is there.
Mm-hmm.
Like a little standoff once they board.
Yeah, no, that was the part I was talking about. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I thought you skipped ahead.
Oh no. I was talking about the part where they were shooting at the Lambda cruiser.
I thought you skipped ahead into the episode. I'm sorry. Yeah. Continue.
Oh no, don't be. They have a standoff. One of the Imperial officers shoots one of them, and then he holds Dr. Pershing as a hostage because they're very hostile toward Dr. Pershing, which is interesting. They make like a remark about how he's not in his lab, but he seems to be strangely high up. But he's very eager to cooperate with Mando and his crew. So they end up. He ends up pretty much telling them everything, giving them a full thing of the ship. And the way that they took down the ship was very interesting because they fired like some sort of laser off of the Slave One that. I don't exactly know what it is. It was some sort of like EMP, electromagnetic pulse, that like fried the ship's circuits. Have we seen that before? Because I can't remember seeing that before.
I think we've seen it a couple times in Star Wars before, but I can't really name any instances because there's like so few out there.
Yeah, it seemed very familiar, but I couldn't quite recall any other times that it's been used. Possibly it's been used in other movies. I'm sure it's been used again in Star Wars, but it might have been used in other movies too, which is something that might have made the connection.
The guy that's holding Pershing hostage is taunting Cara Dune when Cara's like standing off with them, and he mentions Alderaan, which was, if you didn't know, Cara's homeworld, which was. Blown up.
Yeah.
And then he keeps on taunting her while she's trying to stay civil, saying, "Hey, man, just like put the gun down." She eventually snaps and shoots him in the face, also blasting off a piece of Pershing's ear.
I don't. Was it her shot that blasted off part of Pershing's ear, or was it the Imperial officer's shot? Because I thought that. When she shot him, he missed Pershing's head, but shot off a piece of his ear.
I think it was Kara shooting a piece of his ear while also hitting the guy behind him.
Yeah, that would probably make more sense. This season has had a fair share of Imperial believers. You know, people who are really, really into the whole Imperial thing, some people in real life are supporters of the Imperial cause, not like people actually go out and like build Death Stars, but like some people, when they watch the movies, they side with like the bad guys, the Imperials, rather than the Rebels. And they believe the Rebels to be terrorists, which is kind of the Empire's propaganda. And I get the points from both sides, but the Rebels are definitely the good guys. I'm sorry if that breaks some of your hearts, but the Rebels are absolutely the good guys. So
I don't know how people could side with slavery and pretty much like labor murder, like police brutality. I don't know how people could side with that.
Yeah, you've got like it's an empire. It's a dictatorship where they control the entire galaxy, and if you speak out against it or venture your opinion, when it doesn't align with Emperor's, you can be killed. You can be taken away and disappeared.
Yeah, what sucks is that there's real life dictatorships like that. With one of the biggest examples being North Korea, which is honestly devastating.
Oh, absolutely! You took the words right out of my mouth, dude. I was about to say something similar.
Let's not get into politics and let's keep talking about the episode.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you for keeping me on track. I do get off track sometimes, since you guys. Certainly no. So they end up shooting the officer. Dr. Pershing tells them what they need to do, but he also warns them about the dark troopers that are on board. I got really excited when this happened because I was like, yes, we're going to get Mando versus dark trooper action. And so, so they go ahead and they come up with this plan where they're going to be on board the Lambda shuttle, and they're going to have Boba chasing after them and with Stormtrooper aim, but close enough that they can shoot him, because it looks realistic, but he's not actually, like, shooting them. I mean, Boba's an expert at this. He's an expert at pretty much everything, so he can pull this off easily. So they end up doing that, and they call in for help over the comms, and so they start to launch Imperial TIE fighters against Boba Fett. And so they start to freak out, because that wasn't the plan, so they start aiming for the hangar so that they can block off the hangar and no more TIE fighters will come out of there. Which they end up successfully doing, but they almost crash, but they don't. There's a lot of sparks flying, and then they come out of the smoke and just start mowing everyone down, and it was great. Is there anything you want to add on to that? Because I don't know if I missed anything there.
I honestly got nothing to add on to that, so...
Yeah, I think I get everything in that sequence. I'm going to be watching again tonight, and with my... my dad, we like to watch The Mandalorian together, which is pretty cool. But so yeah, I've seen it. I've watched it 3 times already. It's really good. Back to the recap. I'm getting off track again. so they end up boarding. They take off. They take out all the troopers, and then they split up. Mando's gonna go alone, try and rescue Baby Yoda, and Bo-Katan and her group, which, thinking about that, I didn't really realize, because I don't know if I was paying too much attention to the gender, but Mando was the only guy in that situation, which was interesting.
Oh, yeah.
It was a pretty much all-female crew.
Yeah, excluding Boba, who was just there as, like, I don't know, diversion or something. I don't know what.
Yeah, well, the all-female crew was there as a diversion too. So I mean, it was Boba was out there and he was flying around, and then there's Bo-Katan and her forces, Bo-Katan, Cara Dune. I didn't think about this. What happened to Axe Wolves? That was.
Yeah. What happened to I honestly don't know. Like, I thought I was the only one who noticed that there was one missing. Like the.
Yeah, where's the other guy?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure there's more than like 3 night owls, so maybe he's out on a mission with some other night owls. But like, where did he go? You know, because I'm sure there's more than 3 night owls left. There's no way I'm sure there's more than 2 night owls left.
Yeah, because like the night owls were a whole subgroup from the Death Watch that eventually split off from them once Death Watch fell.
Yeah. And we're going to be talking more a lot more about Mandalorian history, but I got to get back to the recap. I got to stop getting off track, Logan. Stop doing that. Okay. So, getting back to it. So Mando goes his way. They go their way. They start to create a diversion. They end up taking the bridge, but Moff Gideon is nowhere to be found. So, they have a short amount of time before the Dark Troopers are fully activated and can open the door. And so we get this like tense moment where the Dark Troopers are activating, and Mando's just kind of like not full out running down the hallway. And I understand he has to be sneaky, but it was kind of annoying me. I was like, dude, just run. You can shoot the troopers. You're wearing Beskar. Just run.
Well, but another thing is like Beskar has got to be heavy. It's like a metal.
Oh, that's true.
Like you can't really go that fast while wearing Beskar. It's got to expend a lot of your energy really quickly.
Yeah, that's true. I genuinely didn't think about that. That's right. Well, I mean, how heavy could Beskar be though? Because I mean, he can wield the spear pretty easily. I don't know how strong Mando is, but it seems like he could wield the spear pretty easily.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if we have any actual numbers for how heavy Beskar is, but yeah, it would make sense if he couldn't full out run, or at least it would be very tiring to full out run wearing Beskar. So yeah, I guess that explains that. So he runs down there, and the Dark Troopers activate and open up the doors. And so there's like So Mando runs over and shuts the doors, but there's this like Terminator Iron Man moment almost.
And there's like this Skrillex music playing that sounds awesome.
Yeah. You know, actually, I think it was taken from Civil War when Iron Man opens like those doors and then his eye, and you see his eyes.
Yeah.
His glowing eyes. It's almost identical to that now that I'm thinking about that. Because the Dark Trooper opens the doors and you zoom in on the Dark Trooper's eyes and it was like. That's exactly. Yeah, that's pretty much shot by shot recreation of that scene. So he opens the doors. Mando starts fighting with him, but is able to shut the doors behind him, so that just that one Dark Trooper gets out. Then Mando starts beating up Mando, like massively. He's punching his head into a wall, which the Beskar protects him. I don't know how much it protects him, but he was punching his head into the wall repeatedly.
I feel like if there was like a few more punches, like the Beskar would have cracked.
I don't know if it would have cracked, but I think I don't know if the Force would have cracked the Beskar. I do think it could have, like, killed him inside.
Probably. Because, like, his head's got to be, like, shaking around a lot in the helmet.
Yeah. And a human has a lot more limitations to Force that they can take than Beskar, so I think a couple more hits and he would have died. Like, because that was some crazy, like, into the side of the metal wall of the ship. And meanwhile, the other Dark Troopers are pounding on the door. And they're about to kick it down when Mando whoops out the Beskar spear, stabs the Dark Trooper in the jaw, and then is able to go out and press the other button and flush them out of the airlock. So when this happened, I was like, I mean, that's a good plan, but they have jetpacks on their feet. They have rocket. They have jets on their feet. And they're droids. They can survive in space. Because I was thinking about that 3CPO line from a while ago. I think it was in the third movie. And 3CPO was like, I can survive in space. And I was like, yeah, droids can survive in space. And we've seen this before. So I don't know. It was a good temporary plan.
But we'll come back to that later.
Yeah, we'll come back to that. That's right. So Mando rushes down the corridor and goes to grab Baby Yoda, all hopeful music, all that good stuff, and Moff Gideon is standing over Baby Yoda with the Darksaber hovered over his head. So that was a nice wholesome moment. You know, he tries to rescue Baby Yoda, but doesn't because he's being held hostage. Very wholesome, very happy moment.
And also, while that's happening, Bo-Katan and all those other people are going through, like, kicking butt, going through the ship, annihilating everyone in their path, and then when they get to the bridge, they realize, Gideon isn't here.
Yeah.
And then that's how we cut back to Gideon over Baby Yoda with the Darksaber.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what happened. So Moff Gideon is standing over Baby Yoda, And he tries to negotiate with Mando, saying that he just wanted Baby Yoda's blood and that he can leave with Baby he can leave with the child if he can keep the Darksaber. And Mando actually agrees with him. He's like, okay, sure, I'll take the child, keep your fancy little blade, and I'm out of here.
And like, all honestly, Mando really does not care about the Darksaber. He just wants Grogu / Baby Yoda. Which just goes to show, like, the connection between them, which is awesome to see.
Yeah, it also kind of showed that he really didn't care about Bo-Katan that much either, though.
Yeah.
To be honest. Because he was like, well, I mean, she helped me, you know, she saved my life a bunch of times, but the Darksaber, the thing she wants, I'm good. I'm good, I'm gonna pass. But it does go to show that he does love Baby Yoda more, or Grogu more than, more than any other, he's more important to him than any other thing. Especially more than his Razor Crest, which, rest in peace. It blew up a while ago. I wonder if I was going to get a new ship. Back on track. Okay, so Moff Gideon ends up betraying Mando, as we all knew he would. He starts to swing at him. Mando easily blocks it with his Beskar, which I don't know if Moff Gideon was expecting that or not. Do you think he was expecting the Beskar to deflect the lightsaber or the darksaber?
The fact that that Moff Gideon had to surprise Mando to get the upper hand just goes to show that that he has some degree of fear of Mando.
Yeah, that's true. That is absolutely true. I didn't think about that. Yeah, it does. And so I guess he was expecting the Beskar thing too then, because if he wasn't, then he would have just fallen and attacked him.
Yeah.
So Mando pulls out his Beskar spear and they have this awesome duel.
Yeah.
And something that's really interesting is I don't know what makes the spear different from the armor, but the spear like starts to like warm up and like starts to like melt.
Well, yeah, that's because the darksaber is being held there for longer. When he's striking at the armor, it's just quick slashes, not just being held there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Didn't Ahsoka kind of hold her lightsabers on Mando though? Maybe the darksabers are more powerful than a lightsaber. I haven't seen any evidence to suggest that, but this kind of is the only evidence I can find to confirm that.
Yeah, but if Moff Gideon had held his darksaber on the spear like maybe just a bit longer, the spear probably would have melted in two.
Yeah. And then Mando would have to use them like, I don't know, like two javelins or two sticks or something, or two swords and try and fend him off, which I don't know how well that would have worked. But we did get to see Pedro Pascal's amazing spear skills. All of the stunts that involved spears, there were some of them we saw last episode, that was all done by him. So he is really, really good at the spear. And so all of the fighting that was done, him versus Moff Gideon, that was all Pedro Pascal, which I thought was really cool because you don't see a lot of people do their own stunts. Heath Ledger did his own stunts. Tom Cruise does his own stunts. And apparently Pedro Pascal does his own stunts, which is really cool. And for those of you who didn't know, Pedro Pascal plays the Mandalorian. He ends up getting the upper hand over Moff Gideon in this awesome scene, and takes the darksaber and defeats Moff Gideon and gets Baby Yoda. And so all of the crew are like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Where's Moff Gideon? And then the door opens and Mando just drags in Moff Gideon, tosses him over, has the darksaber, has Baby Yoda, and just kind of took care of the whole thing himself, which I thought was really awesome. Like he has an entire crew and they're all ready to fight and they're like, where is he? We got to take him down. And Mando just walks in and just dumps everything that and dumps like the entire mission on the floor. He's like, I did it all. I thought that was really cool. What did you think about that?
Yeah, that was honestly like pretty cool as well.
Yeah, I mean we couldn't see his face, but I imagine under his helmet he was pretty proud of himself. Because, I mean, I would be too. You just defeated Moff Gideon and got Baby Yoda back and took the darksaber. It's a pretty big accomplishment, I'm not going to lie. So he goes to give it to Bo-Katan, and Bo-Katan is, doesn't take it. And she just kind of stands there stoically, and she asks him what happened. And Moff Gideon starts to laugh, because a Mandalorian cannot take a darksaber. It is not theirs unless they defeat the person who previously had it in combat. So, by the rules, Mando is now technically the heir to the heir to the throne of Mandalore.
And while Mando here tries to yield, which doesn't work because you have to be defeated in combat, not just give it up.
And it was kind of funny to see almost a reversal of roles. Because she was the one encouraging Mando to take his helmet off and to like not follow the strict rules of his code, and he was like, "Dude, come on, just take the saber, come on." And she was like, "No, this is not the way."
Oh,
just take it.
Oh, now that you say that, I'm just noticing that now. Jeez.
Yeah, and she's now she is rigid to her code, And Mando has learned to kind of let go of the code, and you don't always have to be a stickler in cases of life and death. And so he was like, dude, just take it. She was like, no, I cannot. This is against the code. Like, didn't we just go through this? And so Moff Gideon is laughing. But this interesting thing, how Moff Gideon knew this, and I know he rated Mandalorian. He was an ISB officer, so he probably knows a lot about Mandalorian. I have this weird feeling that he is a Mandalorian. And I don't know why, but I have this weird feeling that he is somehow. And maybe it'll come up next season. We don't know. Giancarlo Esposito will definitely return next season. We already know this. Thrawn probably won't show up next season. He'll probably show up in the Ahsoka show, and it's probably time for me to get back on track to the recap. So they're laughing. Giancarlo Esposito is laughing. Bo-Katan can't take the saber, but suddenly we get a bunch of blips on the radar, and they're coming to attack the ship. Bo-Katan asks how many life forms, and I believe it was Cara Dune that said none.
No, it was Fennec.
Oh, it was Fennec. Fennec. All right. The last time I watched it was yesterday, so I'm doing my best, but I might get some of these things wrong. So thank you for pointing that out. It was Fennec who said it. So
then we get the awesome Skrillex music as the Dark Troopers land in the hangar bay and advance towards their position.
Yeah, and I know they're robots, so they're supposed to be mechanical, but it was just really cool that they were all, like, marching in unison. It was so awesome. So then they're in trouble, and so we see an X-Wing fly in. And then at first, I was like, oh, this must be one of the X-Wing pilots that we saw earlier this season coming back to help out Mando. And then I was thought about it, and I was like, well, how would they have known that he was here? And I was like, even if they did know he was here, then why would they send a single X-Wing? And I thought about it some more, and I thought, who flies a single X-Wing? And then I thought about it harder, and I thought about that figure that I mentioned on the ridge, and how it possibly could have been Luke Skywalker last episode, and how that figure up there could have been Luke Skywalker communicating to Baby Yoda through the force projection, kind of like we saw in Rise of Skywalker and Last Jedi with Rey and Kylo. And so Luke Skywalker steps out of his ship, and we have full-on Luke Skywalker in The Mandalorian, getting out of his X-Wing and just getting his Rogue One Darth Vader moment where he is just slashing through these Dark Troopers, and it is amazing.
He gets the epic hallway scene like his father before him.
Yeah, it's like his very own kill box, just like his father. Yeah, and so he's just like murdering them. It's amazing, and so he's just massacring all the Dark Troopers.
Oh, one move that I noticed that he did was when a Dark Trooper shot at his back, he flipped the saber around his back and deflected it right back at the trooper. Which if you don't know, that's one of Anakin / Darth Vader's signature moves that he does to deflect blasters.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, yes, he's doing the thing. He's doing the thing. And so many of his moves were so interesting. And there was one thing I noticed when he was, like, crushing, I think it was one of the last Dark Troopers who was, like, crushing it with the Force. It was really weird, because usually when we see the Force, if there's any color to them using the Force at all, there's, like, a light tinge of blue. This, it was, like, a vivid green around him crushing it in, which is really interesting. And we have never seen this before. So I don't know if it was, like, a visual glitch or if they put this in on purpose, which I think they put this in on purpose. They were, like, crushing it in. It was really interesting.
Usually, in Jedi and all that, with how the new Jedi are, like, using Force Crush is, like, a big, like, no. It's, like, you don't do that. But since Luke is, like, starting his own, like, school and temple and stuff, he's technically the leader of the Jedi now, which means he can make his own rules.
Yeah, I know the Force Choke was definitely one. Was the Force Crush one? Because I could have sworn I saw some Jedi do it in the
Mace Windu used it in 2003 Clone Wars.
Yeah, I could have sworn I guess the Force Crush could be a no. I thought they used it against like droids and stuff. And they just didn't allow the Force Choke or Force Lightning. Well, I mean, Force Lightning you can't do in... I don't know. Yeah, you definitely can't do Force Lightning if you're a Jedi, but... or you're not allowed to, but are you physically able to do it if you're not a Jedi? I mean, if you are a Jedi, are you physically able to do it?
I honestly don't know.
Yeah. No. I wasn't. I don't think you would have the answer to that. No offense. Like,
yeah, I don't have an answer to that.
I don't know if anybody has an answer to that. So back to the recap. So, Luke Skywalker just slays them all and then walks in, and Baby Yoda does like this thing with his hand where he recognizes that there's another like force being there. And so he walks through the door, and like everybody gets ready to fight him except for Mando, and he's like, "What are you doing? Open the door." And so they keep the door closed, and they aim at him. So Mando walks over, opens the door, and asks him, "Are you a Jedi?" And so Luke Skywalker pulls back his hood, and he's like, "Yes, I am a Jedi."
We see a de-aged Mark Hamill. Like the details are so on par with the original trilogy. It's like awesome.
It was really awesome. At first I thought it was Sebastian Stan with Mark Hamill's face over it, edited, but it turns out it actually wasn't Sebastian Stan. I forget the actor's name, but I don't think he's been in very many things, at least anything that I've ever seen. But he looks a lot like young Mark Hamill. So they put him in. He was the stand-in for that, and then they dubbed his voice with Mark Hamill's and kind of edited Mark Hamill's face over it. We had a little bit of Uncanny Valley, but I don't think they're ever going to get it to the point where there's not a little bit of Uncanny Valley. So I think it was really good. I think they might they might update it a little bit in the future, but and add some more effects to it. But I think it was pretty good already. So it looked a little bit weird, but I was like, I was pretty happy with the design. I liked it. So yeah, we get Luke Skywalker, and he's like takes it, and he asks Grogu to go with him, and he's like, "I will give my life to protect the child." And Din is like, "All right, well, I mean, I gotta give the baby to this Luke Skywalker dude," and so he ends up going with he ends up letting Baby Yoda go, but before he goes, Baby Yoda like taps on his helmet and like gives him a pat on his not on his face, but on his helmet, and so Din Djarin, and a final goodbye to Grogu, removes his helmet. And Baby Yoda, Grogu, sees his face for the very first time.
It was kind of an emotional moment.
Oh, absolutely. It was a very touching moment. I was talking to a lot of people. Apparently a lot of people cried during it. I personally didn't cry, but it was
definitely I'm not one to cry during things, but it was very emotional though.
It was, yeah. I very rarely cry at movies or TV shows or anything.
But like then, when I realized that like Grogu was going with Luke, then I started like yelling no, because Luke's school eventually gets burned down by Kylo.
Yes,
and pretty much everyone except Luke and Kylo survived. All right, no, died, but not survived.
Yes, so that's what I thought originally. I was like, oh no, he got murdered by Kylo, because if he's going with him, then he just got brutal. He's about to get brutally murdered by Kylo when the school happens. And so at the time right now, Kylo Ren, Ben Solo, is 4 years old. 4 years old. So there's another 6 years until he starts Jedi training. At 10 years old. And so that's a pretty sizable amount of time for him to train Baby Yoda. But here's the thing. Baby Yoda is about to go on a big steep curve, because by the time Yoda himself was 100 years old, he was on the Jedi Council. Baby Yoda, our little Grogu, is 50 years old. So he's about to go into teenage Grogu. And I think this is going to trigger a lot of people that he's no longer a cute little baby Grogu, but he's about to go through a big phase where he's teenage and then, like, middle age, and then he's going to be a grandpa for a couple hundred years. The Yoda species have it rough. So he's about to grow a whole lot, and he is about to get a whole lot of training from Luke. So at the very least, I think Grogu could, I think Grogu could have survived that and no longer have been at the school. I think he could have done his training and then left.
Maybe.
Or, alternatively, that place where Luke is looking in The Last Jedi when he goes to leave, is Grogu. And he's hesitant to accept, he's hesitant to train Rey after the failure of Kylo and the failure of Grogu. Not so much that Grogu wasn't a good learner, but the fact that he was possibly murdered by Kylo. I think the reason that Kylo could have gone south is because of maybe Luke's favoritism for Grogu.
That's a possibility.
And so I think that could have been one of the things that triggered Kylo so much and kind of turned him against the Jedi Order.
Already know that Kylo turned because Luke saw a vision of Kylo and tried to murder him in his sleep.
Yeah, that
was the canon reason, but like another reason could be Grogu.
It's a possibility. What I genuinely think is going to happen is I think there's no way that Baby Yoda is not coming back. There's no way. So I don't know if they're doing a time skip or a time jump, but I'm almost completely certain that Baby Yoda did not die at the temple. There's almost no way that they're not bringing Baby Yoda back on the show. I think that is the last time we will see DH Mark Hamill. It's very possible that that we will see Baby Yoda again, because Baby Yoda is one of the most popular things about the show, and they're not gonna take away Baby Yoda because, I mean, let's face it, it's owned by Disney. What does Disney love more than anything?
Two things, of course.
Money.
They love their
money.
Oh. And so, cute things, well, they get money.
Yeah. I don't know if they love cute things or not. I know the cute things get the money, so they like them. And again, I'm not a major fan of Disney, but they gave us The Mandalorian and they gave us the MCU, so I will applaud them for that. They did a good job with that. I'm not a fan of their entire Monopoly thing they got going on, but they give us the MCU and they give us The Mandalorian. I'm happy. And they're going to give us all these great shows, which there was an after credit. Back to my thing. I don't think Baby Yoda is gone. I think he will return next season. I don't know if there's going to be a time skip where Mando and Bo-Katan and everyone are putting back together Mandalore, and where Mando becomes possibly the leader of Mandalore.
Yeah. Let's get to the end credit scene. Yields... there's an after credit scene which shows the Bib Fortuna on Jabba's throne. Then we see Fennec.
Yeah, and he's super fat. Like, he I don't know if sitting on Jabba's throne, it's an amazing throne. You never want to leave, so you just kind of sit there and get fat for the rest of your life. I hope that's not the way it works, because Fennec Shan comes down there and just starts shooting people. And then we hear the footsteps.
We hear Boba coming in.
And we hear the spurs. We see the shadow. And we see Boba Fett walk down. It's brand new looking armor. And Bib Fortuna freaks out. He's like, "Oh, Boba, I had no idea you were alive. I heard so many rumors that you were dead." And then Boba says, "My death was greatly understated or something. I'm just kidding. He didn't say that. I'm getting the reference wrong, but there was some meme where, never mind. So Boba ends up shooting, just not even saying anything to him, and just shooting him, pushing his body aside, and then sitting on the throne.
Fennec is at his side.
Fennec is at his side drinking some blue milk, I think. Just chugging some blue milk. Might be alcohol. I don't know. Star Wars alcohol. But yeah, so, and that's how it cuts it out, and then announces that they are releasing The Book of Boba Fett, which is not
it's
a book.
It's a show.
It is a TV show named
Boba Fett. I have a theory for what The Book of Boba will be. I think it will be an anthology series of Boba's adventures, and maybe how he escaped the Sarlacc.
Yes, I think I think it's going to play out much like that. I think it might be like a series of adventures. So we might see that scrapped Star Wars scene start from the Clone Wars where Boba has his duel and gets the dab in his helmet. I think we might see a live action version.
Yeah, maybe they would canonize that scene.
Yeah, and I think we might see just a bunch of different stuff. So we could see him in one episode. We see him escape from the Sarlacc, but it doesn't necessarily have to be in serial order. It could be, it could be like just kind of all over the place, like different stories from Boba, like maybe why he was so feared in the galaxy, his rise to power. Which, I mean, we saw a little bit of in the Clone Wars series, but it would be cool to see more of that. So like each episode is like a short story, a short segment of Boba's life.
Yeah.
And so I think
coming next December.
Yeah, next December. And guess what else is coming next December? The Mandalorian season 3. Which I am really excited for, and I think it will turn out to be, I think it will turn out to be really good, really good, both of the shows. We're getting so many new Disney Plus shows, over the course of next year, so many more movies. I really hope that they'll all get released and not push back, and tomorrow should, I mean, not tomorrow, next year should be an awesome year. The Mandalorian and Mandalorian season 3 is filming right now. What do you think? Do you have any theories on what you think would happen? Because I have a couple
myself. I honestly don't have any theories right now.
Okay. So what I think is probably going to happen is I think we're probably going to see a time skip, a time jump. And I think for the first two episodes, we're not going to see Baby Yoda. Eventually, Baby Yoda will return, and he will return permanently on the show because he and Mando are the two main characters of the show. There's no way they're just letting Baby Yoda go, because he makes a whole lot of money. So the Mandalorian is back, and he is leading I think he's going to be trying to lead Mandalore, and I think there's going to be a rivalry between him and Bo-Katan because he's going to realize how much better he can make Mandalore, and how he can improve, and make it so they don't all have to follow these strict dogmatic rules from eons ago, and be like a people again, because I think he's kind of learned his lesson about like culty kind of rules, because he was kind of in a cult before, and now he's learned to like kind of let go of those. Cultish rules, and Mandalore still has a bunch of those things, like the whole Darksaber like trial by combat.
I would have liked to see that, and knowing how much of a good person Mando is at times, I can see this plausibly happening.
Yeah, and I think Mando might think it's genuinely in the best interest of the people of Mandalore for him to help them and for him to lead them away from this, from these strict rules.
And then Bo-Katan will turn bad again, just like when she was with the Death Watch, and will try to basically kill Mando for the Darksaber.
Yes, but I don't. Here's the thing: I don't know. From a certain point of view, Bo-Katan is on the red side, so certain people might have different views about this. I personally am one to side with Mando. But some people might have different views about this. I do think there's going to be Mando versus Bo-Katan next season. I do think there's going to be, like, we're definitely going to see that trial by combat. The thing is, I think we might see Mando win. He's not going to kill
Bo-Katan.
Oh, man. He's not going to kill Bo-Katan. But I think we might see him win, is the thing. So, definitely going to see a trial by combat next season. And then I think in the final arcs, the final, like, two episodes of the last season, or this season we had final three episodes, I think we might see some sort of return of Moff Gideon, in a way. And I think we might see a tie-in with Dr. Pershing and Moff Gideon, because they currently are in New Republic, being interrogated by New Republic people, but I think they could escape.
Oh, something I noticed about Dr. Pershing this episode is that it seems like he doesn't have any emotional attachment to the Empire. It just seems like he's doing what they want him to do. Because, like, the way he sounds, the way he's reacting to stuff, he doesn't seem all that attached to the Empire. It seems like he wants to get away from it, but can't. It's just like with Galen Erso in Rogue One.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. I think he might hail from Kamino. He's not an actual clone himself, but he was in charge of cloning on Kamino, as we can tell by his patch and a couple other people who were working on Baby Yoda. So some people were thinking that Baby Yoda was cloned. I don't think Baby Yoda's a clone. But Baby Yoda could possibly... what they were trying to do is they're trying to get his blood, and even Moff Gideon admits this. He's like, we just wanted his blood, but he's not letting Mando leave the child. So clearly they have something more that they want from him. They might want to turn him to the dark side, or they might try and be creating clones of Baby Yoda to inhabit Emperor Palpatine's spirit, I guess. Because he does have a high midichlorian count, so I do think that's what they're trying to do, and I do think the Mandalorian is trying to kind of fix the sequel trilogy, and it's a big job, but they might...
They're somehow doing it right now with some stuff.
Yeah. Even last episode, so they just kind of threw away Operation Cinder out of, like, just kind of a sideway comment, but that's a big deal.
And I know, like, a lot of people do not like Rebels, but, like, this show might make Rebels worth rewatching because, like, the whole Thrawn thing.
Absolutely. I don't think Thrawn is going to be in The Mandalorian, though. And a lot of people, I got a lot of flack for talking about this, but I think he's going to be an Ahsoka villain with her alongside Sabine Wren. And in spoiler for Rebels, by the way, if you want to go back and watch this, just skip ahead this part. Spoiler alert. That final scene in Rebels where Ahsoka and walks over to Sabine. She's wearing like these white robes, with a staff, and she walks over to Sabine, and like they go off on a quest for Ezra to find Ezra together. Dave Filoni hinted. It was kind of less than hinting. He kind of just outright said that scene might be set after The Mandalorian, so it might not be set immediately after Rebels when we thought it would. That could be set after the events of The Mandalorian when she came in there. So that might be the start of the Ahsoka series. So a lot of people were saying, oh, Sabine Wren must be dead. I was like, no, that could be just after, which it turned out. Apparently it is. So I'm really excited to see the Ahsoka series. Sabine in live action, which I thought Cosco Reeves' character was going to be. But it turns out it wasn't. I really thought she was going to be Sabine Wren. But she was not Sabine Wren. She's just this character that's there. I think we're going to see more of the Mandalorian clans, the different factions. So we've seen a lot of this in Rebels and in Clone Wars. But I've always been a big fan of Mandalorians, and I just think they're awesome. And so I'm excited to see the Mandalorian clans and their different factions. So we might see we're probably going to see some Clan Ren, all the different clans come together and have Mando reunite them possibly. So I'm excited to see that. That could be something really, really, really interesting to see. I do think the main theme of next season will be reuniting Mandalore, because Mando's main goal this last two seasons was finding Baby Yoda and reuniting him with his people. And so now that he's done that, and I think his next goal will be to reunite Mandalore and kind of fix Mandalore from the I guess kind of swamp that it was in, you know? I mean, they were scattered all over the galaxy. So I think he might be reuniting the Mandalore people and kind of saving them. And then unexpectedly to Mando, not to any of us, Baby Yoda will return, knock his boots off, and then they can go on some more adventures together, Mandalorian alongside a Jedi. And I, believe it or not, I don't have any theories for season 4. but I do think that's what we're going to see in season 3. Another thing is, by the time, even if he was still at Luke Skywalker's school, Baby Yoda at that time would be really good with the lightsaber. He would be highly trained. I don't think he would have gone down to Kylo Ren. Maybe he escaped. I think it's very possible that he could escape or just fend off Kylo Ren, because I don't think Kylo Ren is... Can Kylo Ren take down a bunch of younglings? Sure. Can Kylo Ren take down a Yoda who is highly trained with the lightsaber and the Force and, like, highly Force-sensitive, more so than he is? I don't think so. And because you got to remember, this time, Baby Yoda would be... he would be aged up quite considerably. He would be in his prime time of his life, you know? He would be in, like, his physical condition that would be equivalent to, like, our 20s. So even though he's in his, like, 60s, that's really his prime time. Like, not the middle of his life, but, like, he's in the fittest condition that he'll ever be in. So I do think I do think he would have escaped. I don't think he would have gone down to Kylo Ren, even if he was still at that school.
Maybe, yeah.
But starting next season, I do think I'm almost certainly we're going to see a time jump. What do you think about that? Time jump?
I'm thinking maybe it's possible.
Yeah, I do think in future seasons to come, we're going to see Mando struggle with the First Order. And I hope they can kind of retcon it or work on it to make it seem like it didn't just come out of nowhere, that there was actually like a plan behind the sequel trilogy, and it's not just a bunch of stuff thrown together because they wanted to.
I feel like they're gonna try to make sense of it all in season 3 instead of just like what they literally did, just threw a bunch of bullcrap together and then made this.
Yeah. The sequel trilogy wasn't very popular. Neither was the prequel trilogy. I actually liked the prequel trilogy. I think it did a good job of establishing the universe. Thing was, by the time I had watched it, I had been watching the Clone Wars. And so I think if you'd watched the Clone Wars and then watched the prequel trilogy, you would have enjoyed it. There's, however, one part of the prequel trilogy that is just horrendous. And that is the Padme and Anakin relationship, and the whole
it's a bit patchy,
which is a meme. Yeah, it's a bit patchy. It's very memeable. memeable. Yes, I'm now quoting that. If anybody says memeable again, you have to pay me royalty. So yes, I think, and even the original trilogy, as beloved as it was, there were some people who didn't like the third movie. So I think every trilogy has its weakness. I'm not saying that the original trilogy was anywhere, is even really comparable to the sequel trilogy. But I think with enough work, they could be able to pull this off and kind of establish like this conspiracy background. That could be really cool, like a spy background almost. I wonder where we will see Mando at the time. At the time of the Rise of Skywalker and The Last Jedi and The Force Awakens, I wonder where we will see him, because he will be older. He will be not quite the age of Han Solo or anything like that, but he will be older, which will be interesting to see. I don't know if we know exactly how old he is. He was a little kid during the Clone Wars. So we know for a fact that he's younger than Anakin, and Anakin was 40 when he died on the Death Star. So judging by that, we can assume that Mando's about 30. So in about, he'll be about 50 or so, by the time that the events 50 or, yeah, he should be about 50, maybe mid-50s when the Rise of Skywalker comes around, which I think, I think that's still, like, pretty good fighting condition. I mean, Han Solo was holding up on his own, he must have been, like, 70, almost, because Han Solo was he was pretty old with Force Awakens, and then they killed him off, which, I mean, I wasn't a fan of, but they always wanted to kill off Harrison Ford always wanted to kill off Han Solo, even as far going as back, going as far back as the third Star Wars movie, he wanted Han Solo to sacrifice himself, but George Lucas wanted that perfect ending, so they did that, and then they kind of messed up that perfect ending, but hopefully The Mandalorian will reestablish that, and kind of make it as perfect as possible. Do you have any theories on how they're going to do that, possibly with cloning and Kamino ties? Do you have any ideas on how they're going
to?
No,
not at the moment. I'll have to think more about it.
Yeah, I it's a hard task that they have on them because the original trilogy, the sequel trilogy was barely tied together. I think they tried to do a good job, but I didn't like it. A lot of people didn't like it. And I was a little bit worried about the Mandalorian heading off into territory like this. But I do think they'll be able to handle it. And I think they'll be able to do a good job of this. Let's move on to some other Star Wars shows that are going to be coming out. So we have The Bad Batch. And for those of you guys who are wondering, on my YouTube channel, I will be posting the videos. I have them all recorded. They're all set to go. I'm just editing them. They're taking a while. I'm sorry. So The Bad Batch has ties to The Mandalorian in it. We have Fennec Shan. And now that we know that Fennec Shan is going to be in the Book of Boba Fett, she's pretty much in every Star Wars show right now.
Fennec is becoming like this new, popular character now, it seems. Almost kind of like how Rey was, female protagonist, except Fennec is, like, less Mary Sue, like Rey.
I was thinking slightly more Ahsoka Tano. Because Ahsoka Tano showed up in one show, just like Fennec Shand showed up in The Mandalorian, and then she spread over to other shows. Fennec Shand showed up in The Mandalorian, is now spreading over to other shows. Ahsoka Tano showed up in The Clone Wars, was wildly popular, and has now been spread over to The Mandalorian and other shows in her own show. And Fennec Shand seems to be doing the same. I'm personally not a huge fan of Fennec Shand.
Waiting for what they will do with Fennec Shan.
Yeah, she doesn't seem to have a whole lot of character development, but I think The Bad Batch will go into why she was wanted by the ISB, as she mentioned in the last episode. I think they will go into why she is wanted by the ISB. She might team up with The Bad Batch, and in the trailer, it looks like The Bad Batch is fighting off against the first generation of.
It seems like The Bad Batch. They're kind of like an offshoot. They're kind of traitors to the whole Order 66 thing. They didn't follow through.
Yes, I think because they didn't have.
Because Echo was there, I think they might have killed Echo too.
No, because Echo showed up. Echo showed up in the trailers afterwards. What I think would have happened is I think Echo would have, he was under Separatist control for a long time, so he had a lot of, they were messing around with his brain and all sorts of stuff. So I think they may have malfunctioned the chip. I don't think they completely deactivated it, but I think something will have happened enough to tip off the other Bad Batch members, so they're like, what the heck is going on? I think it will tip them off enough that they're alerted to the Order 66 stuff that's going on, and I don't think they're going to comply with it. And we see the Emperor's speech to the clones, which is actually sampled from the Senate speech, in the third prequel movie. And so what I think the series is going to do, it's going to really go into what happened to the clones after Order 66 and what really happened, the aftermath of that. We haven't really seen too much of that. There's a period we haven't really seen, which I'm excited to go into. And there's something I'm really excited for is that they're facing off against these clone troopers who have their original armor, but it's now painted dark and they have green visors. This looks to me like the first generation of the Death Troopers that we end up seeing. Basically that means that they can shoot and hit things. these Death Troopers showed up first in Rogue One, where they actually hit something, which was really good for a Stormtrooper. So they were these Imperial Stormtroopers that we hear so much about. Sharpshooters, sorry, not Stormtroopers. I think we could see the predecessors to those guys, or even the beginnings of them. And we saw those showcased in the trailer, which I was excited for. They do seem to have some sort of affiliation with fire, which is interesting. So we've seen them in the trailer using a lot of fire torches. I'm not sure what's the deal with that. There's a chance they could be, we haven't really ever seen a Death Trooper use that, but they could be experimenting with other weapons until they find something that...
Maybe in the Bad Batch, we can see what happened to all the other Mater clone characters that weren't killed off earlier in the show.
Yes. I'm excited for that. And we actually got some confirmation from Disney about this. Temuera Morrison, who plays Boba Fett in the series, is returning as Commander Cody in the Obi-Wan Kenobi series.
No, I
did not. Did you hear about this? Oh, yeah, no, they
I think this is Legends, but, like, what happened to Cody was that he basically just became, like a trainer that trained troops until old age and then died. But that's Legends, though, so maybe in the Obi-Wan Kenobi show we can see what actually happened to Cody in canon.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. Cody is a very, very popular character, and I'm glad that they're giving him an ending to his story, because we got an ending for Rex's story. He fought in the Battle of Endor, he won, he survived, and then presumably
and we got died like a age. Probably a clone that not a lot of people care about, but we got an ending to Kix's story where he was like in this stasis pod found by this guy named Sidon Ethano. When he was looking for treasure, he found Kix in a stasis pod. He saved Kix, and then Kix became basically a bounty hunter with this guy's crew.
Yeah, they're doing that to a lot of different clone troopers, kind of fleshing out their backstories of these characters. And I mean, some of them just died outright, but it looks like Rex we already saw with Kix. And Cody, Rex got his backstory fleshed out in Rebels, and then he was retconned to be one of those troopers on Endor, which I thought that was a great retcon. And so now we're gonna see something like that with Cody. I don't know. Here's the thing: Cody could be hunting down.
Yeah, because he technically failed in killing him and carrying out Order 66.
Yeah, so I think Cody could be like kind of the second in command to Anakin, Darth Vader, who's being played by Hayden Christensen. So I think there are a couple different ways that they could pull off Hayden Christensen being Darth Vader, because they surely didn't hire him just to be in the suit, because they could have just hired to be in the suit or something. I think we're definitely gonna see his face, and apparently we're also gonna see a showdown between him and Obi-Wan Kenobi. So I think they could and I hesitate to even say it, but I think they could do like some sort of force video chat thing like they did in The Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker with Rey and Kylo. And so I think we might see sorry, Obi-Wan and Anakin to that. And then I think they might finally meet, and he might damage his helmet, and he might end up having to end up getting a new one, or fix up his helmet, and then inside we will see Hayden Christensen's face, which is possible. I do think we're also going to see him inside his little stasis chamber, remove his helmet. There's some gnarly visuals from like comics.
Something I'm hoping for is like some like other duels between Obi-Wan and Maul. We kind of got that in Rebels, but I kind of want more.
Oh,
like,
yes. I can't get enough. Yeah. Yeah, me too. I don't know if you ended up seeing
the trailer that I made for
Kenobi before all this. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So I put Maul in there because I really wanted Maul. I really want Maul to show up in there. And so far, there's no confirmation that he will, but I really, really want him to. And even as, like, just kind of an final episode thing, like kind of a post-credit scene where they reenact the Maul scene from Rebels, but in live action, I would love to see that.
That'd be, like, the best thing ever.
Yeah, it would be perfect. It would be so perfect for an ending to the Kenobi series, even, because it really shows that he's there and protecting someone, and finally they end it with like, is he the one? Is he the chosen one? And he's like, yes, and then just like fade to black, and I think that would be a perfect ending to the series because it was great in Rebels, but it felt
because like the whole animation style didn't really work well with like the whole sabers and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I really want to see that in live action, but like even as far as storyline goes, it seemed a little out of place. Because Rebels isn't really about Obi-Wan Kenobi and Maul. They kind of threw it in there. Maul was a part of the Rebels series, but I think we really need to see that in live
action. They kind of did that Maul just for like Obi-Wan. Fan service and Rebels.
Yeah, they did for fan service. Now I think we need to see that again, but and, like it can even be the same thing. But I would like to see it this time with, I mean, obviously Ewan McGregor and Ray Park's Darth Maul, but I would like to see it, I would like them to portray it just like they did in Rebels, with Obi-Wan being cool and calm and Maul being full of rage, because that really does showcase the two of them, and then at the end show that, they're kind of, pardon me for using this term, but frenemies. And yes, I cringed when I said that too. Yes, they are enemies, but they are still, they're still friends. In a weird, weird way. And I think that's kind of the duality of Maul and Obi-Wan. And everybody always compares Anakin or Darth Vader, if you'd like to call him that, and Obi-Wan. I've always seen it as Maul and Obi-Wan. Because Maul was really the first taste of the dark side that Obi-Wan had ever seen or ever fought against. And he keeps coming up.
It is this like first emotional impact on Obi-Wan when he killed Qui-Gon.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. And then Liam Neeson, sorry, Qui-Gon. Qui-Gon was killed, and that really impacted Obi-Wan, and I'm personally a huge fan of Obi-Wan, and so I really hope we'll see more of Maul, and they've been really good with these shows at doing
fan service. They've been really good at doing fan service without forcing it and pushing it too hard like the sequel trilogy.
Yeah, and they didn't copy shot like they didn't copy entire ideas where there's a okay all right I'm not gonna get into that. So I think they could do that. I think they could bring in Maul. I think they could bring in Corky Kenobi. And I think we could see some flashbacks to Satine Cries, which I kind of talked about last week, in last episode's breakdown, but I do think we're going to see Corky Kenobi, and if he doesn't, and even if he does show up for just a brief cameo in the Kenobi series. I do think he could show up more in the Ahsoka series, possibly, because he is a Mandalorian. So is Sabine Wren. So I think he could join them alongside Sabine Wren in stopping Thrawn. Or he could even cameo in or be a small part of the Mandalorian series, because he is a Mandalorian, and they are calling back all of the Mandalorians from all over the galaxy. So I think we could see him return in some way. He's a very popular character, a fan favorite for a lot of people, and they're very good at doing it, bringing fan favorites back. And so I think we will see Maul, and we will see Corky Cries, and possibly some flashbacks to Satine Cries in Obi-Wan's relationship, because this is really a series about Obi-Wan and testing Obi-Wan's soul, because he just saw everyone he knew die, and his best friend, and he just kind of had to go out and kill his best friend, and apparently now his best friend is back and is like a mass murderer, and so that's a lot for someone to take, you know. And just like a year or two, his entire world turned upside down. He's now on the run, so this show should be really testing.
Yeah, Obi-Wan's a really strong individual. He's watched his pretty much lover die. He's watched his friend die. Well, Anakin technically died. Turn into Darth Vader and a whole bunch of other stuff.
He had to basically kill his best friend in his own eyes. It was killing him. He didn't end up dying, but it was
like,
brutal.
That battle was like when Anakin died.
Yeah, I think something that they could be doing with Hayden Christensen, the Kenobi series, is I think they could also be reenacting some older scenes to kind of show as another flashbacks. Yeah, to kind of show the friendship, because not everybody watched Clone Wars. Some of them just watched the prequel trilogy and it was just kind of like, ha ha, so cringy. I think they will be showing off some Clone Wars scenes that we've seen before, but this time with Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen in live action. And that's cool. I'm not super excited about that, but I do think that's something that they will be doing. Some people might get really excited about that. That's great if you are. Personally, I'm not super excited about that. We already saw it. It will be kind of cool to see it in live action. I really want to see Maul in live action again. I mean, that about wraps it up for me with Kenobi and Ahsoka and the shows. We've really given our theories on Boba Fett. They closed out The Mandalorian Season 2 with Mando removing his helmet and finally giving up the way of his old cult and turning over Baby Yoda to Luke Skywalker for his training. And hopefully he will return, and Mando now wields the Darksaber. So this was a crazy, this has been a crazy couple of days where they announced all of these shows, and it's really been nerve-wracking seeing and emotional seeing Mando go through all of this and finally complete his journey, but it's not done yet, and we will see more in The Mandalorian Season 3.
No problem,
thanks
man.
Thanks for coming on to the show, Starscream, and thanks for tuning in, everybody. Make sure to check out Marvel Muse on YouTube, Marvel Muse on BitChute, and you can listen to our podcast almost anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Breaker, and pretty much any other podcast service you can think of. We're all out there.